ladies, it's me, Bridget, and we have Miss Yaya, is what she goes by, to be a guest on here today. Basically, just want to talk about who we are and how we got here. So, Yaya, tell me a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What you do?
So, I'm Yaya Nasia. I'm from Queens, Northside, New York City, all day, 180 game. I moved down here to Atlanta going on 3 years now, since May. I only moved down here because I wanted a better living for me, my girls, and I wanted to really get into the whole HBCU thing. I always wanted to go away and see what it was like to be in a, you know, all-black college, which is crazy because I'm not even in an all-black college now.
Where you at?
Like, I'm at a GTC, Gwinnett Tech.
Okay.
So, but I just wanted the whole South life. I always was South to the heart.
Really? You like the laid-backness of it compared to New York or what?
Yeah, the laid-backness. I'm into, like, farms and shit, like, weird shit.
Here's not weird, though.
And you know what? Down here, it's not weird. But for somebody who's from Queens, Northside Queens at that, it's like, what? You want a farm? That's all I hear every day. You want a farm?
That's totally different.
But you know what's crazy? My dad is from the South. So maybe that's what it is. Okay. He told me when I was a baby, I used to live in South Carolina with him. But I don't remember none of that. All I know is New York City all day. So, I had a cousin. I have two cousins that was down here. I don't have any family in New York. I mean, not in New York, in Georgia. But at the time, I just thought it was best. New York was super expensive. You know, I was tired of paying $2,500 for a two-bedroom. It was, like, ridiculous. At the time, I wasn't working in the medical field. I was working at Target, and I started taking care of the mentally disabled. And I had people with behaviors, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it still wasn't a lot. You know what I'm saying? So, eventually, I was like, all right. My cousin, she's been trying to get me down here for years. She's trying to get me down here. So, we was in high school. You know what I'm saying? We both planned to go away. She wanted to get away from her home. I wanted to get away from mine. So, we was like, all right. We're going to, you know, graduate. We're going to go down south. My dream was to dance on the band team. But then I got pregnant when I was, like, 16. So, that stopped all of that.
Okay.
My mom gave me the option to, you know, she was like, you know, just go away to school. I'll take care of the baby. And I was like, nah, I'm good. I raised my own kid. So years went by. I stayed in New York, but then it was too much. So I came down here. My cousin, she knew I was coming out here because, you know, I told her, like, y'all, I decided to come down to Georgia. You've been trying to get me down here forever, all these years. So I came out here to visit. And I spoke to her. And then when it was time for me to move a month later, I never heard from her.
Okay. Since you've been here, have you heard from her?
Yeah, but I probably spoke to her maybe like a year after I had already moved here.
What?
So, yeah, so for me it was like, you know, damn, bitch, I came all the way out here. I could have stayed in New York. I could have been somewhere close to the family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I have family in PA, Jersey, anywhere, Connecticut. But I came to the South to be with her, and when I came down here, she didn't answer none of my calls, none of my messages. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was kind of odd. You know what I mean? Yeah. And a part of me was like, well, maybe she's just going through some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And my thing is, like, I don't know why she wouldn't be comfortable with saying that.
Yeah, like, what was her reasoning for not being able to be open with you about it? You know, you expected her to be a part of your support system when you got here?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Did she ever give a reason why?
She basically was saying, after I did speak to her after a year, she was like, she was going through some stuff out here. You know what I'm saying? Going from crib to crib and all that kind of stuff. And
okay.
I was like, well, damn. I did too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I probably would have...
Could have moved in somewhere together or something.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm one of them people... I don't judge anybody where they come from. At the end of the day, everybody go through some type of struggle. Right. I don't care if you got money. I don't care if you got wealth. You had to go through something to get there. Everybody didn't just get it. It was that easy to get. Everybody would have it.
So let's talk about your experience since you've been here.
Like what?
Like you said you... Do you regret the decision to move here? Are you glad you did?
I'm glad I moved here because I got a chance to actually get away from everything that I know. They say you don't really know how strong you are until you move away from everything you know.
You better
know. And everyone you know.
That's a fact.
That's a super fact.
That's a super
fact. So, when I first got here, I struggled like a mother. Like, I struggled.
Okay.
I lived in the nice areas and all that, but what I didn't know was that Georgia's minimum wage was so freaking low. Like, I didn't know that. I really came out here to work into the hospital as soon as I came down here, to go straight into the hospital. But I didn't know Georgia was kind of, like, slow as far as employment and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It was easy to get a job at, like, Target and all that kind of stuff, but that's not what my goal was. I came down here with a medical license, so I was expecting to be in the hospital. But when that didn't work out, when I didn't get a call back, I was like, dang, something gotta happen. I gotta pay bills.
Right,
and I
live
in a nice area in Atlanta, so it cost me some money. You know what I'm saying? So I ended up taking whatever. I had to take an $8 job, which I wasn't even used to. I didn't even get that in New York. New York, I didn't get less than 14.
Okay.
So
okay.
For me to take 8, it was like, oh, hell no. Nah. It's some slavery shit.
My time's more valuable than
that. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. I'm supposed to be working in the hospital making 30 an hour.
Okay.
So for me, well, that's at least in New York, that's what I was making, but not here.
Okay.
So when I had to take the $8, I said, well, you know what? Bills got to be paid. It is what it is. So I took the $8. I was working at JR Crickets for a while behind the bar.
Okay.
And as a waitress. And then I had to take a second job because the 8 wasn't enough. So I went and took a $10 job working at the CNA for private care.
Okay.
Still wasn't enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I didn't have a car at the time. And then one minute I did have a car, but the car broke down. So I ended up Ubering every day to get back and forth to work.
One job
was in Cobb County. One job was in Buckhead. So I was driving all the way from Cobb County to Buckhead back and forth to go to work.
And where were you living at the time?
I was living in Camp Creek in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Marketplace. So if you know anything about Camp Creek, a marketplace is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a hood, but it's expensed. You got, you know, gated communities, pools,
right,
all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's the kind of lifestyle I was used to living. So that's why I wasn't trying to go nowhere where rent was like $500-$600. I wasn't even trying to be there because I didn't want that for the kid.
Okay.
So I would rather struggle and live in a nice area than be in a hood and deal with other shit.
Right.
So the only reason I was able to even get back and forth to work was because the tips I was getting at work at JR Crickets was paying for me to get back and forth in the Uber.
Was that was
just
travel.
Right. It was just after a while, it was just like, it didn't make sense. It was like, damn.
Yeah.
I'm just paying to get to work.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know? So, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to have to go back to school. So that's what I did. You know, still waiting for the hospitals to call me. But things didn't work out. I ended up having to move somewhere else. I went somewhere else that was cheaper, but it was super hood. That was Washington Road. If you know anything about Washington Road, you already know.
You got to be about that life to live there.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's hood, but it ain't New York hood, so it's tolerable.
Okay.
You just gotta get used to, you know, having your house broken into or some type of crazy shit. Or, I mean, I think the craziest part about living on Washington Road was having somebody knock on my door and ask if my nigga sell weed.
Just a total stranger to say that a black guy lives there. Let me see if he sells weed.
Yeah, which I didn't at the time. You know, I'm more New York smart, not Atlanta smart. So,
okay.
I'm looking at the chick like, what you mean do my man sell weed? Nah, he don't sell no weed. You know what I'm saying? But then a couple of neighbors that live behind me, they come up north. They basically was like, nah, that really mean that that's somebody basically trying to see if they gonna rob your shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some niggas sent her over there to see if we was selling drugs in his territory. Some weird, crazy stuff. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, they meant something behind that.
Basically. You know what I mean? My neighbors had to put me on to it. I think the neighbor next to me had got robbed, you know what I'm saying, tied up type thing, something like that. So
okay.
I went from being on the nice ass side to coming to the crazy side. But nobody never tried us. We really stayed to ourselves. There was nothing really to.
Okay. I've had a similar experience of living in the hood, so we'll talk about that.
Right.
Matter of fact, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the phases as we get along. Living there, what made you say you wanted to go? Besides the unsafeness of it, did you feel it was financially is what I can do now? Like a lot of women, especially your mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got two kids.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of women feel like financially it's better for us to stay here and just learn how to survive here. Or did you just want different?
As far as Georgia?
Yeah, especially living in that neighborhood.
I came here for a purpose.
Okay.
So for me, I had to get up and move from everything and everybody I know.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I lived very comfortably. I grew up very comfortably. My parents have money. My parents own most of the brownstones in Brooklyn and Queens.
Okay.
But, like I tell people, just because your parents got money and you live a certain way, you just having a silver spoon don't mean things were all great behind closed doors.
Right, right.
So, for me, my thing was really getting away and doing something different.
Okay,
let's
talk about
the fact that I had to bring my kids up here.
Uh-huh.
It took a lot for me to have to take them from their dad, take them from everything they know. So, my thing was, I'm not going back. I'm going to figure it out.
All right. Let's talk about why you wanted to leave. Like you said, it was a silver spoon, but not everything's the same behind closed doors, which is good. So, tell me about your childhood. Your experiences and why you... Tell me about your childhood first.
To be honest with you, a lot of people say I didn't have a childhood because I grew up a lot different. You know, both parents are religious.
Mm-hmm.
We're Jewish. Black Jews. Israelites. A lot of people don't know what Israelites are or Hebrew Israelites, which we're original Hebrews. My family's from Israel, so... I grew up in a different type of environment.
Okay.
Both parents are pretty much rabbis and ministers, so we have a strict lifestyle as far as, you know, growing up, you're not allowed to wear pants.
Okay.
You know, Friday night, Saturday during the day, we're supposed to be at shul, which is church for us.
Okay.
And you can't watch TV.
No TV.
Yeah, no TV. You can't go out Friday night. I didn't know what it was like to watch TV on Friday nights. I didn't know what it was like growing up to go outside, party on Friday. I don't know nothing about that.
Really?
Yeah, that's a no-no. That's not happening.
None of that was happening.
Nope. Mm-mm. That's for the rest of your life.
Did y'all celebrate birthdays?
Yeah. We celebrate birthdays. We have our own holidays like Yom Kippur, Passover. We're Jews.
Okay.
But we just, Friday night and Saturday, we couldn't do nothing. It's like our Friday night and Saturday are y'all Sunday.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, my parents are very strict on that. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Every weekend, that's what it is. It's going to be like that for the rest of your life. So, with being a minister's daughter, you have to uphold a certain lifestyle and view upon yourself.
Preacher's kid in the Christian community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, preacher's kids are the worst kids ever.
You better know it.
We're the worst kids.
You better know it.
You know? So, I kind of got tired of having to live that lifestyle. You know, just having to clean and cook all day and, you know, serve and all that kind of stuff. When your parents are into a lifestyle, into a culture, or they're really strict about certain things, that's your life. So imagine doing that from the time you're born to, you know, for the rest of your life.
For
type
the rest
thing.
Of your life.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Until you decide to get grown and go away and do your own thing. Yeah, we had all the money we wanted. We had all the things we wanted. But at the same time, behind closed doors wasn't so great, you know. Moms was always wilding and some shit. Her and dad was at it a lot. I don't know why as a child. You know, as a child, you don't know why things are happening. You just know things ain't right.
Right, right.
Dad was always working, trying to make money to make sure we had everything we had to live in that nice-ass house and nice clothes and, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Great schools, after schools. You know, but at home, it wasn't what it was supposed to be. Moms was very, very, I want to say abusive, but, you know, African-American culture, we don't think with ass whoopings is abusive, but there's limits to things, you understand?
Right.
And my mom, she went over limits.
Okay.
So we didn't have a good relationship growing up at all.
Okay.
Not just me, my siblings too. It took for us to move away, get our own place, to actually build a relationship. You know what I'm saying?
But amongst the three of you?
Yeah. There's five of us all together, so
five. Okay.
It took a lot for us to actually build a relationship until we got older. Mom is still who she is to this day, but she kinda calmed a little bit. But it took for me to move 17 hours for me to actually have a relationship with her.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can have all the great things in the world. You can have all the money, all the toys, all the Jordans, whatever. But at the end of the day, whatever goes on behind closed doors is different. Mm-hmm. It ain't the same.
And that's what people fail to realize, I think, a lot of time, is money does not solve everything.
Nope.
At all. Like, growing up, our house was the bigger house on the block. Mm-hmm. We were the Joneses. Mm-hmm. We ain't have, Yaya's parents got money, but we lived comfortably as well. We did just fine.
Right.
And actually, I come from a home where, I would say it was a peaceful childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I come from a healthy home.
Okay.
Healthy intentions.
Okay.
But there was also things that we experienced. First off, I don't judge my mother because parenting does not come with a manual.
Nope,
how to be a parent whatsoever.
Right.
It is experiences, knowledge, common sense, and a little bit of winging it until you get there.
Right.
So I felt like for me growing up, at home I was validated, told I was beautiful. I was not taught how to stand up for myself. I was instead of the Christian mentality taught to turn the other cheek. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. All that does is make you a weak person in life, period. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the subject of Christianity another episode of how I feel about that.
Right.
But a lot of times people don't realize that just because it's pretty and shiny, you don't realize what you're missing, because childhood is really rearing you. You have the experience, but it's rearing you to be an adult, how to be an adult, mm-hmm. how to function as an adult, how to find and build your own character. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I missed out on a lot of those things, and I wasn't taught because it was so busy. My mom specifically was so busy on making sure I stayed a child that when it was time for me to become an adult, I was not equipped.
Okay.
Whatsoever.
Okay.
Whatsoever.
Which is why I definitely, when it comes to my kids, I have two girls, so when it comes to mine, I let them know what's going on.
Okay.
To a certain extent. Kids gotta always be kids and be and live a kid life. It's not even about staying in a child's place. It's really more so you don't stress them out. The whole point of you working hard and doing the things you're doing is for your kids to live a better life or a great life or a better life than you did or, you know, whatever. So I don't want to ever stress my kids out, ever. You know what I'm saying? But I got to a point where growing up, I didn't know what a struggle was.
Okay.
Now I do, because I'm out on my own. I'm not, you know, utilizing daddy money no more. I'm mm-hmm. not, I'm not doing all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Now I chose to stay in Georgia and go through the struggle.
Okay.
Rather than running back home mm-hmm. and living off of, you know, family.
Now, why you want to stay? Now, some people, we as a culture, I've learned, for black people, mm-hmm. we think that living with mom and dad or moving back home is immature or wrong. Mm-hmm. When other cultures, especially like Hispanic communities, you can't tell me you can't pull up and mom, grandma, auntie, mm-hmm. uncle, everybody live in the house together. Mm-hmm. You feel mm-hmm. me? But that's culturally acceptable. Or in the Caucasian community, where they literally live off of mom and dad. They graduate high school, mom and dad pays for college. After college, they come home for a little bit, and mom and dad done hooked them up with one of their friends at a corporate job, and now they're working that corporate job until they get out on their own.
But you see, the key word you said was mom and dad pay for school.
Yeah.
A lot of times in the African American community, our parents can't afford to pay for school.
That's true.
So
that's
we're
true.
Taking out loans and everything else.
That's true.
Now, even with my family having money, my parents wasn't paying for me to go to school.
Really?
You understand? No, not at all. Because my father, he worked for the city in New York. Mm-hmm. To everybody up north, working in the city jobs is better than anything. Okay. For whatever reason.
Right, right.
I didn't agree with it because I felt like when you work for the city, you're stuck. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to literally stay there for
years.
X amount of time, years, and wait for retirement and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them people, I like to travel, I like to move around.
Okay.
I can't work for the city and move around. Mm-hmm. So, education wasn't a big thing at all for my father.
Okay.
I don't want to say he didn't believe in it, but he didn't really mess with it. To him, it was like, why? When you go just get a city job and have benefits and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. That's not how I was thinking. I was like, nah, I don't want that.
Right.
I want to be stuck. I want to be able to move somewhere. I didn't really like being in New York for the rest of my life. I'm used to it. That's my hood. That's my home. That's what made me who I am. But at the same time, people grow and people move and do things. So that's not what I wanted.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. my mom, she wasn't really with the whole education thing either. But as time went on, she realized, okay, you got to have certain degrees and licenses to move up in life in this time.
Okay.
This day and time. So she was with it. But either way, I still had to pay for my own schooling and stuff. I had to do all of that. And I still had a newborn at that. Mm-hmm. So I just chose not to go back. To me, I felt like Georgia was more laid back, more relaxed. I felt like you definitely get more for your money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You get property down here. When you buy a home, you own a property too. You know what I'm saying? New York, you don't necessarily own a property when you buy a home.
Right.
To me, it was just a better living for my kids. Okay. Down here, you can pick and choose what kind of environment you want to live in. In New York, everybody's so mixed. So your next door neighbor on the right might be Jamaican. Next neighbor on the left might be African. The person in front of you might be Spanish. As to where in Atlanta, I just lived around a whole bunch of my people.
Okay.
When I came to Atlanta was the first place I've been to where I actually seen black-owned businesses.
Okay.
I didn't see that in New York.
Okay.
Because it's so mixed. A lot of times, more businesses came from the Indians, came from the Spanish, it came from the Caribbeans, but I didn't see African Americans really owning things in New York.
Okay.
It was really rare for me to see that. Uh-huh. A Chinese person in New York owning a Chinese store, owning cleaners.
Yeah. That's been my experience here as well. Like, I said, it's been 2 hours. I have not seen a person of any other color but black people, and we're not in the hood. Mm. Like, that was the mentality I had growing up. Mm-hmm. If it's all black, it's automatically hood. It took me leaving to realize that that's not true. Like, we don't all just live in the hood. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's plenty of us living in middle-class society, upper-class as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whatsoever. Yeah, so you just felt like the outcome of the struggle would be worth staying here versus going back home?
Right?
As far as once you come out the struggle and you become prosperous or successful, the outcome was worth it.
My goal was to actually finish school and then go back to New York.
Okay.
But I thought about it. You know, I got to a point where I've been down here for now almost 3 years, and I was like, I don't want to go back home. Okay. I like it here. Okay. Down here, you know, tomorrow's going to be hot. You know, the day after that's going to be hot. You know, the day after that's going to be hot.
Right.
In New York, weather was bipolar as fuck.
Yes.
I'm
from Ohio, so I know that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right now, it's hot as hell at the moment, but right now, New York is snowing.
Okay.
But I already knew that I was going to get adapted to Georgia, and I never thought I wouldn't want to go back home, but I got to a point where I went to New York so much, even with living down here, that I was ready to come back to Georgia. When I started feeling like that, I was like, damn, something ain't right.
Okay.
I started feeling like I was, like, going against my own, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
But then I realized I was coming back home to the same stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that's not what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, down here, when I got more adapted, I started learning more about property, I started learning more about being able to have your own businesses. Down here is where you can have your own businesses and stuff like that without it being too crazy expensive. Mm. It's more support.
Okay.
I feel like the South support each other. You know what I'm saying? Opposed to New York, you get a lot of backlash. You know, your people don't really want to support you. They'd rather give the money to the Indian. They'd rather give the money to the Hispanic. They'd rather give the money to the white man. But down here, everybody's, you know, there's not black owners, really.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of environment I like to be in.
Okay.
And not for nothing, I'd rather my kids be grown up with horses and a farm and laid back house when my house is, the next house is up the street.
Okay.
Than living on top of each other. Everybody's smushed on top of each other, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I chose to stay here, finish school, start my assisted living, start my medical businesses. That's
okay, well, talk about those. What is your goal after?
So I'm in school for respiratory, registered respiratory therapist. I have about a year and a half left. I actually should have graduated this year, but you know, when you're working full time and you're going to school full time and you have kids, that shit ain't easy. So I had to drop classes and stuff like that. So my goal really is to just graduate as a respiratory therapist and to work in the hospital for a little bit as a respiratory therapist and then open my private practice.
Okay.
My goal is to have a private practice in respiratory. I got into respiratory a couple of years ago. Growing up, my kids were born with chronic asthma. Mm. So if you know anything about chronic asthma, it's very, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My kids literally lived at the hospital at Long Island Jewish in New York.
Okay.
And because they were in the hospital so much, I had to quit jobs and all type of stuff. Because you can't leave your kid in the hospital. You have to really, like, stay there with them.
Mm.
And when they got sick like that, they were there for weeks. They went in ICU for weeks and weeks and weeks. Can't breathe, losing all this weight because they were on steroids and having to be incubated. And when you have a machine working for you. You know, I dealt with that for years since my daughter was a newborn.
Okay.
So I was really in a hospital with her since at 16, 17, supposed to be out enjoying my life, but I'm dealing with a sick child. So
eventually, that's what I got to your interest in this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eventually, I got to, when you used to doing this on a regular, everyday basis, giving them nebulizers and steroids and albuterol, budesonide, and trying to help your child breathe and they can't breathe and got to rush them to the hospital, it becomes a lifestyle.
Okay.
So for me, that's what I was interested in after a while.
Okay.
And then I had cousins, two cousins, who died from HCM, which is a rare heart condition. My cousin Katin, he was the first one to go at the age of 17. He just dropped dead on a football field. He used to play football. He was getting ready to be drafted to Penn State. And one day he just dropped dead at practice.
Wow.
Yeah. So we didn't know what was wrong. You know, we knew he was sick a couple of days before. Like he had a cold or something. He went to the doctor. They said he was fine. But then the next day he just dropped. So when we end up finding out what was going on, we found out he had a rare heart condition called ACM.
Wow.
And he was very healthy and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So
is Is it something genetic, or what causes that?
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
I never really looked too much into it. I know it's an enlarged heart. I know that all of that. I'm not sure if it's genetic, but back then there were no defibrillators and all that kind of stuff at schools and stuff.
Because
that happened to him, and that was in Edison, New Jersey, it became a really big thing, and he got on the news and stuff like that. And when that happened, the mayor pretty much was like, you know, this is what's going to happen. Y'all going to have defibrillators in school to avoid cardiac arrest, avoid all these different things. So they passed the law that now they have to have these type of things on a football field, on any type of field, really, especially because a lot of this stuff happens to athletes.
Okay.
So okay. Now it's you have to have that, you know, and that's what caused that to happen in Jersey. So that's what got me into it, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
And then I think 2 years later, another one of my cousins, she dropped too. And it wasn't from ACM, though. She had an asthma attack. So all of that kind of stuff is what really got me into wanting to do respiratory.
Okay.
Respiratory is my passion, beside my music and all that kind of stuff. The other things I really wanted to do before that.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
My goal is to really just open my practice. I want to be a travel respiratory therapist and travel the country, travel the states. Open a medical spa with respiratory. So, you know, we'll see. I'm definitely working on it right now.
That's dope. That's dope. So now we got an idea of you. Now let's talk about your life. Today you work as doing what now?
I work as a phlebotomy coordinator at Emory Hospital.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, today's Valentine's Day. So let's talk about your social life and love life and love life experiences. Happy V-Day, ladies.
Thank you. Happy V-Day.
Thank you. Now, are you in a relationship now?
I am.
You are.
I've been in a relationship for 6 years now.
For 6 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, me personally, I always love to see black love flourish. Everybody wants black love to win every time. Not right. Against other loves, but you know, I'm all about keeping it black.
Right.
Did y'all meet here or back in New York?
We met back in New York.
Okay. Okay.
We met in New York, in Queens.
In Queens.
Yeah.
Are you glad he came as well, or do you wish you'd have came alone? Here come the truth.
I'm glad he came, because without him, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to go to work, because somebody had to be here to help me with these kids. I don't have family in Georgia. The family I do have, I don't know them. I never met them. That's my dad's side of family. I never met them.
Okay.
Out of the 27 years of my life, I've never met them.
Okay.
So, I don't really count them. But, it's just me and him. It's just me and him. And, we struggle together.
Okay.
From New York. We struggle together.
Okay. So, he's your support system here.
Yeah, he's my support system. He always been my support system. You know, of course, he could have did a lot better. You know what I'm saying? Definitely.
Really?
Yeah. He could have definitely did a lot better.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't fault nobody. At the end of the day, we go through because we choose to go through it. We can always do better in life.
Okay.
But
what you mean by that?
I mean, financially, things weren't what it was supposed to be on his end.
Okay.
So that made the struggle even harder.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He couldn't really find work with his type of background that he got going on right now, which he caught in Georgia.
Okay.
So it was limited. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's different when you have a case and it's closed. You can find jobs for felons and all that kind of stuff. He's not a felon, but his case is open. So, and it's a big case.
Okay.
So, so that federal time.
Okay. So that interrupts his ability to be able to get good employment.
Definitely. Any job he was applying to, they was denying him because it's an open case, and then it's federal at that. So he's limited.
Yeah. Okay.
And he got the case doing what he had to do to take care of us.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Things could have went a different route, but we all make choices, and that's just what that is.
Okay.
But I'm happy he came here with me, because I wouldn't be able to work, because the kids had got out of school at a certain time. The youngest one wasn't even in school when we came down here. Mm. She was 4.
Okay.
And when I moved down here, I was told that she was going to be starting school with her sister, so that's the only reason why I moved down here with her so fast. Because I got up out of nowhere in June, and it was like, I'm moving to Georgia in September. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I called school. I did all that kind of stuff to get them in to make sure they were straight. But when I got down here, they told me they didn't have no room for a pre-K in her sister's school. And I was like, what?
Beginnings of the struggle.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, that was the beginning of the struggle. When they told me that she couldn't start school because they didn't have any room, I was like, what you mean? And they was like, well, the schools down here in pre-K, they're limited. I guess they only have a certain amount of kids that can start pre-K. And that was only one pre-K class.
Wow.
So I was like, what? And then they was like, oh, your daughter's birthday's in December. Her birthday's late, so she would have to go a year behind. I was like, oh, hell no. What kind of bullshit
None
is that?
Of that was the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, nah. I said, hell no. Nah. And they was like, you know, enjoy in the South when your birthday is after September, some shit like that, or August, you're considered late birthday, so you got to be put back a year behind.
Okay.
Pre-K supposed to be free. So I'm like, damn, I don't got the bread to put her in
daycare.
And she shouldn't. My daughter's way too advanced for daycare.
Okay.
She didn't go to daycare. She was too advanced for daycare. I was going to straight start her in pre-K. Mm. So now I was already going through what I was going through financially, not having money and, you know, getting evicted and stuff like that. To now, y'all telling me she can't even start school. She got to go to daycare. I'm not
That's
can't
a whole nother big bill.
It's a whole nother big bill. So we had to make a decision. Yo, who's staying home?
Okay.
And, I've always been at work. I've never stayed home. I've always worked 2 or 3 jobs in New York. So I was like, well, I'm not staying home.
That ain't you.
Right. He couldn't find work, really. So he ended up staying home to make sure the youngest one was watched and to make sure the oldest one got off that bus at 2:30.
Okay.
You understand? So, somebody had to be there for that. Like I said, there's no family here. So, you couldn't call nobody and say, hey, can you watch the youngest one? Yeah. Can you pick up the kids? I don't have none of that in Georgia. I left all of that in New York.
So, that's where you feel the benefit of him has come in.
Definitely. Okay. It came in, but at the same time, it didn't help me in other ways because now I'm financially doing everything by myself.
Okay.
So, that led to
him. It's no longer a 2-income household.
No.
Nah, he's staying.
Not at all. So, that led to him now either having to ask for it or going out here in the streets and doing things he probably didn't want to do. But he had to. And that's what got him where he is now.
Okay.
So, we went through hell. I'm not even going to lie. We went through hell. Georgia's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
It's a different struggle. Because also down here, they got those rules where you got to be out, you know, you got 30 days. When you live somewhere for 30 days, you're now considered a resident. But also, when you don't pay, you gotta be out in 7 days type thing, and the marshals come. Like, I wasn't used to none of that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So I was like, what? 7 days? How am I gonna find something in 7 days? And I got an eviction on my thing now?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
So I found myself having to borrow money from my dad, and which I really didn't want to do. But I come from a family where my dad, you know, we're real family oriented. If he can have his children living in one big ass house and he take care of us for his life, that's what he wants.
Okay.
But I didn't want that. I wanted my own money, my own everything. I wanted to start from fresh. That mean I had to struggle on my own. That's what I was going to do.
Right.
So I went through the struggle. You know what I'm saying? But I went through a struggle in nice ass areas. I didn't go through the struggle in the hood.
Okay.
So
you were striving for something better.
Yeah. Of course.
That's
you know what
dope.
I'm saying?
That's
so
dope.
It was a benefit having him here. At the same time, you know, him being out there doing what he had to do got him a case right now that he's been trying to fight. And then I had caught a case down here too, fighting, trying to get somebody out my home, and it turned into something big. And now I'm fighting a charge, but it's nowhere near what my man is fighting. So
okay.
Mine's could potentially mess up my license, my medical license.
Mm.
But his is him doing federal prison time. So
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, we met in New York. I met him when I was 21. I had just got divorced from my baby father.
Oh shit.
And when I met him, my youngest one, she was 6 weeks. So that's who she knows.
Okay.
Her and her sister have the same dad. We were married. When I turned 17, we got married.
Okay.
But when I met my boyfriend, he had stepped up in ways where my baby father wasn't.
Okay.
So, that's what attracted me to him. He stepped up. He did everything a man was supposed to do for kids that wasn't his. And he did it real early. He stepped in when my youngest one was 6 weeks and my oldest one was 3.
Okay.
So that's who they pretty much know. They, the oldest one, you know, she loves her dad. She knows her dad. The youngest one loves her dad, too. But the youngest one knows my boyfriend more than anything.
Hold on a second.
And the oldest one loves her dad, too, so. Yep. That's that.
Facing this fed time, do you think that y'all will continue a relationship, or he ain't gonna hear it? Go ahead and tell the truth.
I'm gonna tell the truth, because you know what, you stupid. I'm gonna be real honest with you, and I want the world to know this.
Okay.
I have stuck it out with this man for 6 years. We have been through hell and back, not just the struggles we went through, but in a relationship. We're just not compatible.
Okay.
But we stuck it out because what we have is each other.
Okay. Y'all got each other's back. Y'all just ain't meant to be together.
Right. We're not meant to be together.
Okay.
But we have each other's back.
Okay.
We love each other because of everything that we've been through together.
Okay.
I will continue to be there for him.
Mm-hmm.
I will put comments there. I'll do all of that.
Okay.
I'll emotionally be there because it's not easy and it's hard. And it's not for nothing. We went through all of this shit together to now I'm in a better place financially, emotionally, everything.
Okay.
And for him to have to go away now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Our money is good and everything now. For him to have to go away, I will always be his support.
Okay.
I'm not going to wait on him.
Okay.
I'm going to continue to live my life because I can't get back these years.
Yes, definitely.
You understand what I'm saying? I was married to my father from 17 to like 21, 16, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then
you went from relationship with your baby dad to this relationship,
right,
now. So you haven't had adult time single?
Huh?
You haven't had adult time as a single woman?
Not at all. I went from 5 years my baby father, married to him, and then now 6 years with my man.
Okay.
I need a break.
Okay.
Mentally and everything. So when he get out, you know, I'll still be here.
Okay.
And trust me, when he get out, things will be where it's supposed to be financially, as far as my businesses and everything booming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be okay. He'll be straight. But as he's in there, I can't promise anything.
Okay.
I can only be there and be supportive.
Right.
I have to live my life.
Right.
You only have one life to live. You only have from the time you're born until the time that you're dead. In between that little time,
and it's so little. So little, and I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, time flies by so quick. I remember being 17 the other day. I'm 32 now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember 17 like it was yesterday.
Right.
So imagine being 55. I'm going to remember 32 like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I've learned for myself, too. People have put a timeline on life. Like, oh, at this age, you're supposed to do this. At that age, you should be doing this or that. And a lot of people don't realize life itself is the journey. Like, it's a journey.
Right.
Ooh, that's disgusting. Shit. Sorry, that recorded. But, like, how should I put this? Like I said, at a certain age, they think you should be doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you're married by 25 and have 3 kids by 30, what gives you the time to, especially if you walk that, I'm using quotation marks, that proper life. You graduate high school, you go to college, you graduate, you get a good job. When do you have adult time alone to figure out yourself, be who you are? So if you're following this supposed to timeline, mm-hmm. You're going to miss out on large parts of journey in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have, and I say it's a two-way street, like not participating in that leaves you out of a lot of things,
right,
at the same time. So for me, I feel like not everybody's journey is supposed to be the same. You're not supposed to do it all on the same timeline.
Okay.
And the outcome is not going to be the same whatsoever.
That's something I had to learn as an adult. Because I always thought that by a certain age, you need to be here. You should be here by now. Why are you still trying to figure your life out at 30 and 40?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I went through my own struggles that I was like, woo, girl.
Yeah. Yes.
I should have been. What the hell was I doing all this time?
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. And for me, I've also known trying to follow that regular path of graduate here, do this, that, and that path, I was unhappy. And it's because I was striving for something that's not me. I am not a 9-to-5. I got a supervisor every day, Monday through Friday. If I know September whatever is a Tuesday, at 1 o'clock I'll be at work, because Monday through Friday from 9-to-5 I'm at work. Like, I don't want that. That's not for me. I don't like it. And no wonder I was so miserable. Couldn't keep jobs because I didn't feel like going to work today. That is okay. Like, that's totally normal.
Right.
But unfortunately, I was living that 9-to-5 paycheck lifestyle. Absolutely. Well, there are so many millionaires and business moguls who literally can wake up and say, you know what? I'm not going to work today. I'm not doing nothing. I'm laying right here in bed all day.
But you know what?
And bills are still paid.
They work to get to that lifestyle. You
yes, it takes the effort to get there, right. Definitely. But all this time, I'm thinking I'm supposed to work this 9-to-5 so I can move up the ranks in 10 years.
No, you can't.
Just to make some, just making some basic money.
Right.
Like,
right,
from a company that will literally dump you at the sneeze of a hat. Then you're up a creek. So financial literacy is something I feel has failed in our Black community, because right. So many other communities haven't. Like, especially living here, I've learned, like, there's a whole neighborhood by me that's not neighborhood, well, area, that's Asian owned. They got their own bank, grocery stores, everything.
Well, that's because everything. Our people want to steal from each other. They
want to
rob
true.
Each other.
That's true.
And we don't get along.
That's true,
so,
again.
That's why you can see, you know, I don't want to downplay my people.
Okay.
But what I will say is, we gotta do better, because you have all these communities and minorities that come in and they build businesses and they
in our community.
They live
yep.
together. You know, we can't live with each other more than a week without fighting, without hating, mm-hmm. without being petty, without mm-hmm. without talking back, talking about each other. So that's why we don't get nowhere.
Okay.
We don't
okay.
get far. We can't do the things that these other mm-hmm. communities are doing, because we don't know how to work as a people and as a whole.
And it is. We can be our own critics so very hard. Mm-hmm. We can be our own divisiveness. And I've learned that's where my research has come in.
Right.
We are also built to be that way. As far as back to the remnants of slavery. Mm-hmm. From Jim Crow, not Jim Crow. What's the name? Willie Lynch. Mm-hmm. Up to Jim Crow, honestly. Mm-hmm. How we're literally pitted against each other, designed to hate each other. And it's become our social norm.
Okay.
And that's part of why I want this platform. Because I know I drive Uber and Lyft. Since I've been driving Uber and Lyft, I have met people and had conversations with people that I would have walked past on the street like, this hood rat, and kept it moving, just to keep it real. But in the same instance, I've learned things from these people. You feel me? So we as a people have to learn to drop our judgment. Two, learn that just because it's Black, we don't need to keep our professionalism. And three, learn to work together, just right. like you said.
Right.
Just like you said. And that is a big, I'm going to say, stumbling block. Will have to occur. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Right.
But we rolling up on the 45-minute mark. We almost there. We got time. Yeah. But okay, Black people. We enjoyed conversation with Yaya. We'll have her back again just
Thank
to get
you.
A little more in depth. But we definitely got to shell and get to know this lady.
Right.
And maybe I'll tell my business one day. Maybe not.
You
got to
hear it, girl. We got to hear it. Yes.
I might spill my tea. I might not. We'll see. But at least look for a recording within the next couple of days. We'll keep doing this routinely. Thank you. Enjoy your car talk. Bye-bye.